Robbie, the film Natural Selection, it opens with a quote from Genesis, and the title of your film, Natural Selection, references Darwin. How do these two things relate with your picture?
Interesting question, Nathan. Well, in Genesis it says, and God said to Onan, thou shalt not spill thy seed in vain, or something like that. And natural selection is all about not spilling your seed in vain, isn't it? Like, everybody thinks it's about two rams butting heads on a cliff or something, but it's really about who can pass on their genetic material. That's what determines who's the kind of weakest creature in the woods. And my main character, Linda, is unable to pass on her genetic material because she's unable to have children. She's unable to procreate. And that has made her life... That's made her life pretty lonely. And it's a source of pretty great shame for her. And it drives a lot of her actions in the movie, a lot of her guilt that drives her to do what she does. So I think that they both relate in that way. Yeah, you know what? That's how they relate. I could talk about religion and then.
Well, I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Darwinism as a separate thing, but yeah, that's how they relate. I think that there's an odd agreement between evolutionary theory and the Bible there at that juncture.
Did you have that in mind when you were, you know, coming up with the idea, writing the script? I mean,
no, not at all.
Yeah. So it's something where the script couldn't congeal, and you said, "Oh, here's the themes that are coming out."
I think that the entire script, there are a lot of things I put in there that I think are my own issues that I was dealing with kind of subconsciously, and my own ideas about what I saw around me growing up and what I see around me now. And what I saw around me at the moment when I wrote it, which was when my stepfather was dying. So, but I didn't really... It's only after years in therapy that I kind of look back at all that stuff and I kind of see a lot of these things.
Let me ask you about growing up, because one of the things that I liked about the picture is that there are all these religious characters in the picture, people who really take their faith seriously. And even though there are some, you know, funny moments in the picture, I don't think that they were mocked or that religion was mocked at all in the picture. And I think I found that kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I come from a really religious place and background, so the last thing I wanted to do was mock my mother or her friends or anything like that. And I really think it's easy to mock religion, and especially, you know, Christianity. And sometimes it's deserved and all that. But, you know, I think some movies that I've seen that shall remain nameless, I was actually for a kind of bleeding heart liberal that, you know, I'm not exactly a Christian conservative, but I was offended because when people do that, they're making fun. I think everybody should be made fun of, you know, but the best is when you watch a movie like She's Gotta Have It, where Spike Lee is making fun of the people he grew up with, but he loves them, you know, and he has great affection for them. Or About Schmidt, Election is a little more satirical, but like About Schmidt is definitely Alexander Payne looking at people that he has great affection for. But he also kind of, anybody you respect deserves being made fun of. I hate people who can't be made fun of. Like, those are just perfect, awful people. So, but I definitely didn't want to make kicking the Christian kid the point of the movie. I mean, I'll leave that up to Bill Maher.
Rachel, your character in the picture, it seems like your character is just really desperate to make any sort of meaningful connection with somebody after she finds that her husband has been hiding something from her for a long time. What do you feel drives her?
Wow. Well, I think a lot of what drove Linda was guilt. and shame. That, I mean, I think what drives her to go find Raymond isn't necessarily, it's about her, but it's more about Abe. It's more about taking responsibility and feeling like she is the person that drove him to going to the sperm clinic. And so I think for the better half of the movie, we see her being driven by this guilt and shame and this feeling of being broken in some way and trying to make him happy. And then she comes to realize, you know, that she's not really, like, it switches over to Raymond, you know, and she kind of puts all of her faith in him. And I think that what drives her is just this not understanding what happened. And she's trying to figure out the truth, you know, and the truth for her.
You know, it's interesting because in most pictures where there's somebody who is a sperm donor, it's a boy or a girl, a young person who's looking to find their dad. But in this case, you have the wife going to look for a son that is not hers, but is could be her husband's, and one of apparently many, at least as far as I saw on the on the.
He's populated the Southwest for sure.
And, you know, speaking of broken characters, I mean, Matt, your character as Raymond or whoever he really is in the picture, I mean, he's in a bad spot when Linda finds him. And, you know, one of the things that a character like yours that I liked about the way you played it, too, is that it's, again, and this gets into the having some fun with people or fun with characters. Your character is not a caricature. It's a character, and there are some funny elements to it, but it's definitely not a caricature the way you played him.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I think Raymond, you know, there's a lot of comedy in the film, but I feel like the comedy itself brings out some really real moments that you can't premeditate, you know, and I feel, you know, the guy was so weird, he was kind of easy to slip into. He was easy to create, you know. And Robbie was saying this earlier, and I was laughing at how backhanded it is, but it's true. It's like we weren't, you know, we weren't afraid to fail. And he made sure that we weren't afraid to fail. And it's okay to go out and do something wrong, you know. And with that freedom, it kind of just sparks this, you know, a free a way to explore a character. And I was happy that I got to do it, for sure.
You said you were able to get into the character, and I was just talking to the producer before our interview. You said there was a 19-day shoot. And just from a technical standpoint, and was there a lot of rehearsal that went in before this? How was it? How easy or hard was it to slip into the story, do the job, and really make this thing come alive?
Well, there wasn't any rehearsal, really. I mean, me and Matt... Matt got down there a few days before our first day of shooting, so we would go over the script and stuff because I had it beat out and all that. And then Rachel got there a day before, and we were pretty much thrown into it, but thankfully the one thing that a director can't control is the actor's chemistry together. I mean, you can try to shape it or whatever, but you can't create it. And so they had it from minute one. And every day... after we shot, we would go straight back to the hotel and go over lines, and we'd rehearse. There were three or four scenes in the movie that we all knew we had to nail, or there was no movie. So we'd rehearse like blocking for those, or really a lot of talking about what the beats of those scenes were, and you know.
Not so much performing it. So much like performing over and over, but more just kind of analyzing what we want from it.
Yeah, because when we got on set, it was easy for us. Everybody was on. There was a lot of preparation on the crew side, so everybody knew what we were doing there. And as long as Matt and Rachel knew what we were kind of all on the same page about what we were going for, the scene could live on the day. instead of being rehearsed and controlled the day before, and just kind of a cheap facsimile of that. And I, you know, do I wish we had? I mean, the scenes we did rehearse pretty rigorously turned out very well, but I don't know. There was kind of an interesting kind of magic that happened because we were doing a lot of it off the cuff, you know, so to speak. I mean, there was a lot of preparation on my end, again, with the crew and the production designer and the DP and the producers. But
you guys were ready to go. You have to be, I think, on that short of a shoot.
But it was all in the service of getting us all on the same page. So when we got there, Rachel could find these little interesting moments of comedy that weren't planned, or drama, and same with Matt. And you see, I was privileged enough to see them in the editing room how that turned out. And you know, it was a lot of it wasn't good. A lot of it was incredible, and you know, there was such a mix of stuff, but all of it was alive. All of it was living on screen. So, you know, which is more than I can say for a lot of movies I go to. So,
well, and also with like the 19 days of doing it and being there and just having like a time restriction and like not being have the time. Like when we did our rehearsals, it was on our own time. We wanted to do it. And I think the way that the chips kind of fell into place was a perfect amount of rehearsing. And it just kind of, it was, if we needed rehearsal, we just knew it subconsciously. Both of us would call each other. We would all figure it out.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I was going to say, is that we all, the three of us, were 100% committed to being supportive. We were to being completely supportive of one another. And
I was just faking
And doing whatever we needed to do to make each other comfortable, and also, I think we were willing to do, when Robbie would say, "I want you to try this." I mean, a couple of times, Matt and I said yes.
Robbie was wrong, you know.
I said yes all the time. I basically, where Robbie said jump, I said how high. Matt blanched a couple of times, but then he was beaten into submission.
You got mad once.
I got mad once.
But
well,
see, that was being so honest. She's great.
I would get blocked. But here's the thing to aspiring directors out there. All right.
Okay.
When your actor gets mad, and when your actor starts screaming, know that is the greatest thing on earth. And if you just don't have an ego about it, right. and if they're committed to the role, if they're not, you're screwed. So just enjoy life. But if they are committed to the role and they're getting angry, they're getting there. And if you just hold steady, the next take will be gold, or the take after that.
Right. That was partly, I would get angry at myself because I would feel like, I know that I can get there.
We
believe it. I would be so angry at myself, and I would be like, I can't. Like, I would know, you know, like, you know it's in there, and then Robbie would say something, and he would just keep, like, hammering at me, and I would be like, I know.
I hate you.
I never said I hate you, but I said, I know, I get it. And then it would be really silent. Then he would go, and then he would just go, okay, whenever you're ready. And then we would go.
And you were like, ah. And then you'd do the scene.
And then
scene,
I would do the
great.
Scene. And then we would cry.
Yeah. The best scene in the movie, in my opinion, was done on an overnight shoot at like 4 in the morning. And we shot the scene.
What is the best scene in the movie then for you?
I can't give it away. But it's the one in the diner when it's all empty.
Gotcha.
No, but I can't. That's for me, and I'm not gonna tell you what happens in it. I mean, you know, it involves mind switching. So I'm not gonna ruin it. No, it's the best scene in the movie to me, and that was shot overnight, and Matt and Rachel were complete assholes.
I was not.
See, when I get mad at Robbie and he gives me a direction, I just say, no, you're wrong.
No, Matt. But
I think it's safe to say, though, that the scene involves the two characters really talking to one another and being,
and the thing was,
seemingly being, and being sort of
about that scene, though, they couldn't have done it as well on a regular day, because when actors, in this case especially, when they get tired, they're letting go of thinking. They're not thinking anymore. They're just mad, or it's pure emotion. So you see that on screen, you know, and in that scene, I mean, they're just too exhausted to put up a fight anymore. And we all want to put up a fight when somebody asks us to go to a deep place. You know, when our girlfriend or our boyfriend or our dog or when you know, whenever you go to that and that's an actor's job, but it's just as difficult, you know. When a baby starts crying, the first thing you do is tell it to shut up, you know, or like try to get it to shut up. So
yeah,
so
tell it to shut up.
What can I do to fix this?
Yeah, what can I do to make it better sound again, and not and these babies' job is to cry, you know. And
you know, you realize you just refer to your actors as babies.
Oh, they're my babies.
Oh, and I just
that you just threw up in your mouth.
I just upchucked.
Our asses are
but it's
soft.
True, but you know, but that's the thing is that but we were relying, and then what was great is that I think actually we did really trust Robbie on the film, you know. So it's like while we were shooting, I mean, I would just look at him and be like, I remember in one scene in particular, I was having the hardest time, and I just stopped and I was like, Robbie, and he just came in. And I was like, I'm having a hard time. And he's like, okay, well, what are you going to, you know? And he just talked to me. And then it was, but that's what you need, is you need somebody that's going to help you, not judge you, but create the space for you to access those feelings. And he was really good at that.
Well, Matt and Rachel, let me ask you also, let's bring it back to the film and the plot mechanisms here, and I'm not going to give it away, and we don't want to give away what happens in the picture, but I would like you to kind of express, if you can, where you think your characters are at the end of the film versus as we meet them.
Yeah, don't give away the plot, guys. Yeah.
So, Rachel, you want to take this one first?
Maybe, I'm speaking emotionally, you know, in regards. Yeah.
I think that Linda's content. That it's like she's just exhaled, you know, like, and
we kept using we kept saying that on set, like she breathes.
Well, yeah, like, and a lot of it, I would say, she's not breathing for most of the film.
Like, not literally.
I mean, no, but, you know, she's just...
Literally,
too. Just,
literally and figuratively.
I just don't think she's breathing. Hyper. Or, no, well, she's just... It's just all here, you know, and finally she's just, like, let go. So...
She lets go.
Yeah. I think for Raymond, at the end of the film, it's kind of like the first time you wanted to pick up your room. You know, and I think he's feeling those emotions, and like he actually has that idea, like maybe I should clean up my house for the first time and clean up my act, and that feeling for a man, especially, that is it can really transform a person or a character in this case, and I think that's definitely where Raymond is.
That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Robbie Pickering, Rachel Harris, Matt O'Leary, thank you very, very much
for
your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Good questions.